God are, you know what? I think we're going to read this together. I forgot. Let's read this together. We're going to bring it up on the screen, and let's do this together. Sing aloud to God our strength. Okay, and so this instruction of using the trumpet, blowing the trumpet, and we're going to talk about that more through the service. And so let me pray, and then I'm gonna change the whole format of the room. All right, God, we thank you so much that you are a God of creativity. God, you don't want us just to do the things the same every single day. But God, you want to put a new song on us. God, you have given us instruments. You have given human beings creativity to create and make things, Lord. And so, Father, we just invite you this morning to go beyond our normal way of thinking. God, we want this morning to be about you, not about the room at all, really about you. We want to know you more intimately. We want to understand what you're saying to us. And so, God, we just invite you into our time together. And, Father, it's in your Son's name that all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So here's what you're going to do first. All right? I'm going to give you a question here for you to answer. And so the Feast of Trumpets is, the analogy is, it's kind of like the New Year's holiday. So I want you to, someone around you, and again, try to talk to someone you haven't talked to. I know this is Western PA, we're kind of in our place, we don't like to go beyond that, but I want to encourage you to talk to someone that you don't normally talk to, okay? And here's the simple question. Either how do you celebrate New Year, or how do you see people celebrating New Year? What are some traditions that go along with that? So you can either be very personal, or you can just kind of keep it out there, okay? So I'm going to give you about a minute or so. We're not going to give you a ton of time, but just go ahead and talk among yourselves and share those things. All right, take about another 10 or 15 seconds, all right? All right, so obviously in hearing, you obviously know about New Year's. There's all kind of different traditions that go along with New Year's. And so that's just from an American perspective. In 2017, there was a group of us that was in the Philippines. Who was on that trip? Go ahead and raise your hand. If you were on, maybe it was 2018. I don't know. I lose track which it was. Okay, you were there. And so we were there over New Year's. And they do things different. Imagine that. One of the key parts of their celebration is fireworks. In fact, if you want a story, go talk to Jim. He almost blew his hand off. Okay? That'll be from another time. That's a true story. But one of the things that I observed about midnight or just before, we started hearing firecrackers constantly. Like they didn't stop for the whole next hour. Bang, 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 bang. You get it. For an hour. That's how they celebrate. Now, there's reasons why they do that. We're not going to go into all that, but so the Feast of Trumpets is a holiday that is the new year. And so let me read. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Leviticus. We're going to be in two books. Well, we're going to start in two books. Leviticus, and then we're going to be in Numbers in a minute. But we're going to start in Leviticus. And so as you're turning there, Leviticus chapter 23. And so one of the things that we see is that God instituted rhythms and routines in our calendar so that we would not forget Him, so that we wouldn't forget Him, because He knows us. If we don't have holidays, we have a tendency to just kind of do life the way we're doing it. And so that's why we're going to look at them. And my goal here this morning is not to turn us into a Jewish culture. No, that's not what we're trying to do. But what we're trying to do, though, is to see how the Jewish holiday and how God put this in His Word, what are the things that we can learn that we need to apply to our life today? Okay, and so we're going to see that, and we're going to give you a very actionable response. And there's probably a number of actionable things. All right, so Leviticus 23, starting in verse 23. Here's the Feast of Trumpets. Let me read it. It's great to see you all having your Bibles. Give yourself a high five. I love it. I love it. You can clap too. It's all the same. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Okay, and so we're given a couple things. And so here's why I want to slow us down to walk through a couple things that are given here. What does he say? This is the seventh month. Now, for us, what's the seventh month? July. Okay, but that's in our thinking. So when they say seventh month here, they have a different starting place. Their beginning place is Passover. When is Passover? In April. Okay, so the seventh month from April is what month? October. I'll give that one. That's an easy one. Okay? So it's October. And so their calendar followed the agricultural calendar, so to speak. And so October 1st, basically, harvest was over, and now they're looking at the new next year. So that's why this is New Year for them. Okay? And so just to give a little bit of the background. So what does he tell them? He says, one of the things, he says, I want you to do some work. What is he saying there? No work. I want you to do no work. And he's going to say the same thing in every festival. Now, why would God have to say, I want you to do no work? Because he knows us. He knows our tendency is to just work, 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 and we don't stop. And so he's making it very clear that I want to enjoy you. You're not just here to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're not. And so basically what he's saying is you have a day off. You have a... When I was a kid and we had too much snow for the buses to drive, we had a day off. A snow day meant no work. I'm sorry, you guys. You don't have that anymore. You have a remote learning day, right? But it's the same principle. That is what, and really, and we're going to, It was a snow day. It was a day to say, you know what? Let's enjoy one another. Let's enjoy the Lord. And so we're going to look at, actually, every week we have a snow day. It's called Sabbath. It's called Sabbath. All right, we're going to look at that one. And so he goes on. So verse 24, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest. And so what he's saying here, and he's not saying rest doesn't just mean lay on your bed and go to sleep. That might be. And so, you know what? Sometimes you just need to take a nap. And you know what? That can be a very spiritual thing, especially if you're grumpy and acting in ways that are not honoring to the Lord. Go take a nap, okay? And so he's saying that this day is to be a solemn assembly. It's to be you're to rest. It's to be a gathering, a holy convocation. That's a big word for it. You're to gather together to worship the God who has made everything that we see. And so there's a lot of different things that he says. Now, one of the things he says, the last thing he says, you shall present a food offering to the Lord. And so one of the things that they would do, one of their traditions, that, you know, part of this ceremony or this service, they would pass around apples and honey. And I was thinking about, should we pass around apples? But you know what? There's nothing worse than eating a brown apple. And so instead, we opted for donuts and fruit and other things. All right? But what is the idea here? The idea here, they passed around apples. Why? Because it was a reminder to them of God's provision. God provided for us. And so eating an apple was a reminder that this came from the Lord. And so the other thing that they would have would be honey. And what was the idea behind honey? The idea is, as you're looking out to this year, honey is sweet. And so when you're thinking about this year, the idea is, God, make this year a good year, a sweet year. You know what? To delight in you. You have this. And so those two things, provision and sweetness. And so like I said, we opted for donuts, coffee, juice. And didn't Pat do a great job? Absolutely. Thanks, Pat. But so that's part of why we have, you know, some refreshments. So turn back to the book of Numbers, the next book to the right, Numbers 29. So Numbers 29, we're giving a longer description here. Numbers 29, verse 1. He says this, on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. And when you read that, I think this is when we read the Bible and we have questions, we shouldn't just say, oh, I have a question, keep going. When I read that, why a trumpet? That's the question I've been asking myself for the last several months. Why a trumpet? What are trumpets about? Does anybody have that question? Yeah? I'm glad you do, because God answers the question. Hold your finger there and turn back to Numbers chapter 10. Yes, trumpets do make loud noises. Numbers chapter 10, God gives, and again, these are just cultural differences. And so let me read through. He gives, you know, trumpets were to communicate. They were to communicate horizontally, to communicate vertically in relationship to God. And so let me just read down through here. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, make two silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. There, he gives two reasons for the trumpet. To gather the congregation. Hey, it's time to worship. Also to break down. And so obviously they were different. They knew which trumpet blast meant what thing? And so he goes on, verse 3. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the heads of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. And so one trumpet men, all the leaders, there's a leader meeting. That's how they knew. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, so it's a different form, a different sound, a different trumpet sound here, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is blown whenever they are to set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow the trumpets. The trumpet shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then yet you shall sound an alarm with the trumpet. What's the sound that we know of it's time for battle? Someone do it. Something, okay. We get the point. So we know that sound. No one wants to, okay. Perfect it, we'll get it there. But see, we know. So this is part of our culture. It's more than you think. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God that I am the Lord. And so as they were making sacrifices, part of it was making the sacrifice, the other part was blowing the trumpet as a reminder to them that this is of the Lord. And so there was all kinds of different purposes and reasons of why they would blow the trumpet, okay? And so that was part of this. It was a reminder. It was communicating to them. So flip back to Numbers 29, and he gives us more. I'm going to read through here. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time because there is a lot of time that we could spend on these things. But those of you that are reading through the Bible, Leviticus is coming. So when you read through Leviticus, hopefully this time, you won't be like, ah. But hopefully you read through and you're like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Because it was all there for good things, all right? So follow along, Numbers 29, let me pick up in verse 2. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. One bull from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old without blemish. Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. With one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering and the regular burnt offerings and its grain offering and their drink offering, according to the rule for them for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And so part of this day was a celebration. There was a lot of burnt offerings and sacrifices that went into and went to be part of this. And so, like I said, we don't have time to get in all of those things, but the Feast of Trumpets was really about preparing yourself. It's a new year, but you're really preparing yourself for what's going to come as the most holy day in their year that would be in 9 days from now. That's what we're going to look at in February, the Day of Atonement, okay? And so the Feast of Trumpets is you preparing yourself. It's you examining your heart. It's you asking God to search your life. God, what needs to change? How am I not like you? How do I want to be more like you? How have you grown me this last year? I need to be encouraged. And so that's what the Feast of Trumpets was all about. It was about reflection. It was about asking God to help you see what He wants to do in your life in the coming year. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and the next song we're going to sing is a very familiar one to all of us, the Old Rugged Cross. And so part of this is to get your thinking moving about your life. And some of you might be saying, well, Steve, it's January the 26th. I mean, almost a month is gone. Well, guess what? Is it ever too late to examine your life? No, it's never too late. And so really, it's a practice that we need to not just do once a year, but we need to do it really regularly. Is that right? I don't know if I got enough. Maybe there was too many syllables in there. All right, so go ahead. You can stand up if you want, and we're going to worship the Lord here. Just get the way that you need to.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay. Will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday
for a crown.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, to Jesus. surrender humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me.
Is our desire. And God, we know that it's easier to sing that than to live it. And so, Father, as we sing that, help us to be reminded of, God, those areas and places where we're holding on. And when we think about that, it's kind of silly. That we would hold something back from you, the one who sacrificed your son lovingly, freely, completely, and wholly. And yet there's moments that we hold things back from you. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would search our hearts. God, in these few moments that we're together, but God, also this coming week, God, that we would see where you want to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that you'll do it, and we thank you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to change gears a little bit here. And so one of our new kingdom partnerships is Keystone Family Alliance. And so Derek is going to just take a few minutes and share with us about that.
Good morning. So, one of the local ministries we're working with is Keystone Family Alliance. They are a organization that is just starting up in Jefferson County. They've been very active in Allegheny County. The aim is to provide support for foster families, also working with CYS to meet needs in our community. So I just wanted to come to you just to tell you just a couple very tangible ways that you all can get involved with this. So as you entered into the door, right where all the stuff is always held, I put some cards here. The cards here have a QR code. If you're techie, I'm not. I tried to figure it out. I don't know how to do that. But if you know how to do that, you could just take a picture or something and sign up that way. Or there is a website on here. Now, you don't necessarily have to take this home if you can do this here, because there's only like 18 cards, so there's not enough for everybody. And what this will do is it'll sign you up for the Gateway. The Gateway is just a periodic email that you get whenever there's needs in our community. Really, it's not every day. It's very infrequent, actually. We got one, I think, about a week ago. They were looking for baby wipes and baby diapers. And then we just got one yesterday. There's a single father, and he needs clothes for his kids. So there is an ask right now for just some different clothes from different sizes. So again, if you go on here and you get signed up, you get an email. And in the email, it'll say, this is the needs. And a key piece of this is, these needs aren't in Philadelphia. These needs aren't in Pittsburgh. They're not even in Clarion. These are needs here in Jefferson County. So whenever you sign up, it'll link you to Jefferson County, and then you'll be able to help our families, our foster families, kids in need within our community. So very easy, tangible thing. The baby diapers, if you're in the store, you just throw a pack in there if that was one of the needs, and then you just turn it in. Very super simple. So that's one way that you can get involved. The other way is on March 29th, there is going to be our fundraiser dinner. So this will obviously be the first time Jefferson County is holding one of these. So it's going to be at the Brookville Church of God, and it's going to be at 5 p.m. It's just a little bit more of a, not, Megan said it's not formal, but it isn't really necessarily geared towards kids. So really adults, older teenagers. There are going to be speakers. There's going to be some individuals from Clarion County coming over and talking about how Keystone Family Alliance has worked with them. Keystone Family Alliance only has one fundraiser a year, and this is their fundraiser. So this is to meet the budget for not only Jefferson County, but also Clarion County. So there's two dinners to meet the needs of all of our budgetary needs. So March 29th, I did put some stuff on the Facebook page. So if you want, you can take a look at it there. Or if you have questions, you can come talk to me if you're interested in that. So those are two very tangible ways that we can just help support this ministry and meet the needs of kids and families in our community.
Let me ask you a question there. So if I sign up for Gateway and I get the email, and I look at the email, and I can't help with those needs, what do I do?
Delete it.
That's it. Okay. So
whenever you go onto whenever you get an email, it's going to have a link. You click on the link, and it'll list all the needs for Jefferson County. Right now, there's only one. We don't have a whole ton of needs in Jefferson County right now, but that doesn't mean it won't change. And the heartbeat of Keystone Family Alliance is they meet these needs within 24 hours. So whenever you get these emails, if you click on it and then you go into the thing, it'll actually have a button on the left. If someone already signed up to take care of that need, it goes away. So if you want to commit to that, so you want to get some baby wipes because that's one of the things on there, you would say, I'll do this, and then it'll remove it from that. So the expectation would hopefully be that you turn in that item, so because nobody else is going to be turning it in. So they're not going to just collect plethoras of things. They're going to, very specifically, we need one pack of baby wipes. So as soon as someone commits to that, it's gone. So, yes, go ahead. Yeah, great question. So it's going to be really worked through CYS. So whenever the items are on there, it's going to have a contact person on there as well. And that would be, you would contact, and they'll connect with you to be able to do that. So we also, right next door, they're in the process of working through a resource cabinet or closet for families, and not just individuals that are part of Keystone Family Alliance, but anyone in our community, so it'll be clothes and things like that. So Keystone Family Alliance is going to have a room over there, but they're working on that right now, so more to come on that.
Very good. Thanks, Derek. Can you hand the microphone to Mary Beth? She's not going to do it yet, but in a minute, okay? Yeah, so, and that's one of the things that, yeah, this is a very tangible, it's right here, and so we're just beginning to flesh that out. So if you're sitting here and you're like, blah, 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 I couldn't understand anything he was talking about, you're in good company, because we're trying to help people along that way. So talk to Derek, and we'll continue that, okay? So one of the things that our prayer time, today, we're going to pray for our two global partners, and We're recording the whole service today, so we'll talk in very general terms this morning, just out of security issues for at least one of our partnerships. And as you well know, my wife and son is in one of those places. So they did arrive, and so things are going well. But we're going to pray for our North Africa partners and our South Africa partners, Mark and Marcy Harris, all right? So let me pray. God, we thank you that you are a God of the world, Lord. Father, that you care about our community that you've planted us in right here in Little Brookville, Pennsylvania, with the needs and the things that are going on. At the same time, you're a God of the world. And so, God, we pray for Mark and Marcy Harris. And God, we ask that you would just give them wisdom, God, as they live for you in South Africa. God, with Eastern Mountain, and for Mark as he leads that organization, as they invest in young people through discipleship, to invest in the next generation of leaders. And so, God, we just pray for Mark and Marcy, Lord, and help them. And Lord, even with their sons, Lord, with Caleb and Dylan, and as they're one's in college and the other one's approaching college, Lord, as they, as parents, navigate that through that, as serving you in South Africa, yet their kids are in different places, Lord. And so, God, we pray that you would give them peace, Lord, as parents. God, they would trust you that their children are your children. And God, as they serve you, they have to trust you for things that maybe they would rather do themselves. And so, God, I pray that you would give them comfort and that you would help them. And so, God, I pray as well for our North African partners, God. And we just pray, God, for the relationships that they're building there with lost people. God, that you would give them wisdom, God, as they follow you. And God, as when it's hard, Lord, it's hard at times serving you. God, things aren't going as planned with the business, with manufacturing. And so, God, I just pray for just for their leadership. God, I just pray that you would guide and direct their steps, just that you would help them. Right there in another part of the world that needs Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just pray that you would increase our heart, God, for our community here, but God, also for the world, that you're a God of the world. God, you want every man, woman, and child to hear about Jesus Christ. God, the person that is in some remote tribal place in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. God, that you know their name. God, you want to see them name the name of Jesus Christ just as much as the needs that are right here in our community. And so, Father, give us wisdom. Help us, help Zion to be a church that is engaged on all of those fronts. God, that we would channel resources in each of these areas. And so we thank you and praise you, Lord, for all of these things. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I asked Mary Beth if she would be willing to read the cards. And again, these cards came from the body last week. And again, these are coming from things that you wrote as you're learning. There's not names on them because we don't care about the names right now. We care about hearing what is God saying and doing to the body of Zion. So Mary Beth, why don't you go ahead and read those for us. Just keep talking.
Okay. The whole reason Moses had to listen to God and exile the Israelites from Egypt is because Joseph's dream that made his brothers angry and jealous was the whole reason the Hebrews had populated Egypt. God works in ways that don't make sense to us. Job 42, verses 2 through 6, especially verse 3. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. I do not presume to know the mind of God, but there are times that I have spoken as though I do, why God has allowed situations or circumstances to happen, beyond my knowledge. I trust and continue to believe and follow and speak of the hope I have found in Christ Jesus. God has taught me to spread his love. God has taught me to serve and honor him publicly. God has shown me how to have a Christ-like attitude. Suffering and sacrificing for the sake of Christ did not start with me. Job and Abraham paved the way. Job 42, verse 2. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Jacob, at the end of his life, described God being his shepherd in Genesis 48. He saw God take care of him through his difficult life. Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord keeps me. I can be confident in God's tireless care. God may not ask us to follow through with his request. He may provide an alternative plan, but he does ask us to wholly offer our willingness to follow in obedience to him. For example, Abraham and Isaac's sacrifice. When God spoke with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he did so as El Shaddai. However, with Moses and the chosen people, he spoke as the Lord. Exodus 6:3. We can't go so far away that we are out of the reach of God's grace. He will pursue us no matter where we are. For the men of faith in the Old Testament, life wasn't always easy. Faith is a commitment and not always smooth sailing. Genesis 12:2. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. God may be trying to lead you to a place of greater service and usefulness for him. Don't let the comfort and security of your present situation make you miss God's plan for you. In the beginning of the Bible, the second-born son often gets the blessing of the firstborn. In the Bible recap, she says that Jesus is the firstborn and we are the secondborn. Jesus gives up his rights and blessing for us. We get what Jesus deserves. The depravity of man hasn't changed better or worse since sin entered creation. All people have equally needed Jesus since then. Job 29-31. To depend on wealth for happiness is idolatry and denies the God of heaven. True believers must purge themselves of the deep desire for more power, prestige, and possessions. They must not withhold their resources from their neighbors near and far who have desperate physical needs. You can only trust someone you know, and you can only know someone you spend time with. May our knowledge of God and our trust of God always be increasing. Learning about Melchizedek, the king of peace, and how God's following was beyond the Israelites, moving followers. Reading through Genesis, thinking you know the stories, but you don't. God shows you things you've missed and never really thought about before. God loves us. Patience and faith in his timing and intervention. Walking by faith, not sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Very good. Let me encourage you. If you have not written one, we want to continue to offer that. You know, that grab one of the cards, write it, turn it into the offering later, or hand it to someone. And we want to continue to encourage the body at how God is speaking to the body. And that's the encouragement, that God still speaks. So we're going to kind of transition here. And, you know, if we're, you know, the Feast of Trumpets was about quietness and reflection. And how do you take a bunch of people sitting in a room together and create a quiet few moments of silence? I'm going to try to do the best I can to give us an opportunity to do that. And so it's just going to be a few minutes. We're going to start by playing a song that we all know. It's a trumpet song, and it's a song that stirs deep emotions in us when we hear it, because we usually hear this song at a funeral of someone who has served in the military, because death has a way of reminding us of what really matters in life. So we're going to play this song. It's not real long. And then after the song, we're just going to ask you just to be quiet for a few minutes in here. Just, you can bow your head, close your eyes. You can draw a picture, whatever. But just, we're just going to take a few minutes to give you the opportunity to be quiet with the Lord as much as we can. Okay? Father, we thank you that you continue to speak to us. And Father, we just continue to ask that you would continue to do that. God, that you would help us to have ears to hear. That we would be willing to give you the attention that you deserve. And so we thank you and we praise you for that. And in your name, amen. So I know 2 or 3 minutes feels like, I don't even know how long it was, but it feels like eternity, doesn't it? When we're sitting in a group of people. And so here's kind of the challenge that we want to leave you with this week, or the actionable step, because I know that 2 or 3 minutes in a room is not enough time to examine your heart and to allow God, to serve. I mean, God can speak. I'm not saying he can't. But the actionable step that we're doing, hey, this is the last week of January. And so what I'm asking you to do is to, would you be willing this week to go on a date for 1 hour with the Lord? To come to this building, we have sign-ups out there. The only time you can't sign up is during CR. We're blocking those times off. But to come to the building where it's warm, it's quiet, bring your Bible, bring a notebook or a piece of paper or whatever you want. Turn your phone off, and for an hour, just be still before the Lord, read scripture, search the things that we talked about here that is hard to do when we're in a room and hearing little footsteps go back the hallway, which is really the heart of what the Feast of Trumpets was all about. You got to examine our hearts. And so I would ask that you would do that on your way out. There's sheets out there. Sign up for an hour block. And you know what? If you're done after 20 minutes, leave. You know, it's not a mandate that you put an hour in. And if you're here and you're like, well, I want to do it, but I don't really know what to do. There's a guide that's prepared there. If you want to use it, you can use it. If you have your own thing, do your own thing. The whole point of it is spend an hour with the Lord and allow him to search and to speak to your heart, okay? Which is really the heart behind what the Feast of Trumpets was. A day of preparation, a day of repentance, a day of examination. And so how does this connect to Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. And so let me just read it. You don't have to turn. I mean, John chapter 5. Let me just read a couple verses that I think these are Jesus' words. This is how Jesus, shared with us. He is the fulfillment. And you can just listen. John chapter 6, or John chapter 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. For he does not come into judgment, because he has passed from death to life." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the one who took the judgment of a holy, loving, righteous God. He took the punishment. He took it. So we don't have to. And so the Feast of Trumpets is all about, we reflect on our heart because Jesus is our judge. He took the judgment. We as believers, we never have to fear, like, am I going to be punished? No, you're not going to be punished. Jesus took your punishment. As believers, we will never be before God in a way that we will be judged for our sin. Because by faith, we're believing that Jesus has taken our judgment. Now, as believers, we need to examine our hearts so that we would walk more intimately with God. And so we need to examine ourselves, but we will never be separated from God. Jesus Christ has done that. That's what he says here. That's the words that he gave. And so that's the encouragement to us, that he took it for himself. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We have two more songs that we're going to sing that really kind of nail this truth home. Our hope is in Christ.
Stand and sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Here we're gonna let's all read this together. I gotta turn around to look at it. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Let's read together. Behold,
I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed.
Amen. We're going to pass the bowls for the offering as we do this final song to kind of wrap the whole idea up here.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life. Just blood of glory, and I repented of my sin, and one of it.
streets of gold beyond the crystal sea.
Victory. So we want to plant the seed. We'll bring up a. Can you put the event?
Oh, yeah.
On the 9th, I wasn't very descriptive. So on the 9th, we're going to do a pre-Super Bowl party again, food, games, and then you can go home and watch the Super Bowl or not watch the Super Bowl or whatever you want to do. So we want to plant that seed to you. That's in 2 weeks, okay? So I encourage you on your way out, sign up for a date with the Lord this week, and let me pray. God, we thank you so much that we do have victory in Jesus Christ. There is only victory in him. And so, Father, as we go from here, Lord, help us to share the victory in Christ. And God, we pray for people's perspective. Lord, that they would see that there is no victory apart from your Son, Jesus Christ. God, our culture doesn't see that. Our culture doesn't believe that. Our culture thinks they can have their own way to you. And that is a lie. That is not true. And so, Father, help us this week to testify about the victory that we have in Christ alone. God, I pray for the dates this week that people will have. God, that you would speak to hearts, that you would bring to mind things that maybe we're unaware of, so that we could walk more intimately with you in 2025. And we thank you for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.